Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Thank you for joining us this evening on the first weekend of NFL football. Been some good games, a couple not so good games, especially if you're a Chiefs fan, but that's okay. They'll bounce back. Lots of football yet to be played. Happy you joined us tonight. Thrilled to have you with us. Thank you. Always pleased to have you with us. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. Would love to hear from you. A couple of quick event notes. City Elders coming up Thursday, the 11th at 6 o'clock at the 9th Floor Club. That's the former Petroleum Club. Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice will be the speaker. She's phenomenal. The organization is great. It's a great event. If you want information, you can find that on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. And mark your calendars. Coming up in October, got a really cool event. You'll hear some more about it. But this is coming up really kind of fun, and we're looking forward to it. This is Saturday, October 11th, and it's in Cowley County, down in Winfield. The Cowley County Republican Party is hosting the Governor's Choice. It's a chili feed and forum. All currently declared GOP candidates for governor have committed to attend and participate. I'll be hosting. It's not really a debate, so it's not really moderating, but it's going to be conversation. All of the Republican candidates for governor will be there. KNSS will be broadcasting the event live, so you can come down to Winfield, or you can just tune in right here to KNSS and listen. Again, that's at 6 o'clock on October 11th, so mark your calendars. I'm sure we'll have some ads running here on KNSS soon to promote it, but just mark your calendars. In the meantime, tonight we've got a phenomenal show. Texas Senator Ted Cruz, who can be heard here with his podcast, The Verdict with Ted Cruz, is you can hear that right here on KNSS Saturdays at 3, immediately following the rebroadcast of this show. But Senator Cruz will be with us to discuss how Democrat mayors are defending crime and illegals. We'll talk about the Schumer shutdown that's looming, and why the Senate hasn't been able to confirm more Trump appointees, a whole bunch of stuff. Looking forward to talking with Senator Cruz. My buddy Curtis Houck from Newsbusters is going to try and explain the media obsession with the over the Labor Day holiday with the whole Trump is dead story. Brent Davis will be with us to discuss his campaign for Wichita School Board. And Mackenzie Ayers from Kansans for Life will tell us about a new traveling exhibit that they have and their Wichita Fall Fling coming up later this month. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls throughout the show at 316-869-1330. So we've got a great show planned. Call. We'd love to hear from you throughout the show as well. So. And I just heard the phone ring, so that's a good thing. Let me tell you, along the lines of that, the Trump is dead thing, and we'll talk, my buddy Curtis Houck, it's always great to have him on because he can really kind of tear the veneer off of the mainstream media. And I've seen a lot of insane headlines in my time covering politics and being a part of the political process, working for campaigns and being a candidate myself. But over the last couple of weeks, the way the media has covered this whole thing really takes the cake. The media actually ran with the story that President Trump might be dead. The hashtag Trump dead was actually trending on social media. And for the first time in 4 years, the press corps suddenly cared about the health of a sitting president. They didn't care about it when Joe Biden was in there, but now all of a sudden, that was a story. And obviously, President Trump is alive and well, much to the disappointment of Democrats. And yes, the media and even, a few so-called respectable voices in politics. over the Labor Day weekend, he was out playing golf. Tuesday, he was standing at a press conference, took longer and was stronger, by the way, than Joe Biden had been able to manage in years. And forgive me then if I'm not impressed with the media's sudden curiosity. Where was this curiosity when Joe Biden was shuffling, mumbling, and losing track of where he was, sometimes literally wandering off the stage like a visiting Angels client looking for the cafeteria, hiking up his Depends? Where was their concern then? Instead, they gaslit the entire country, telling us it was cheap shots to question his health. They accused conservatives of being cruel or conspiratorial for pointing out the obvious cognitive decline. It was Weekend at Bernie's for 4 years on Pennsylvania Avenue, and the media carried Biden like a prop while attacking anyone who told the truth. But now, suddenly, oh, they're journalists again. Please, come on. Nobody's buying it. And then there's the part that really makes me mad, that makes my blood boil, and that's Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, the Democrat candidate for vice president in 2024, a leading voice in their party, who actually told a crowd that he was disappointed President Trump was in good health. I mean, if you can believe that. He actually told a crowd that he was disappointed President Trump was healthy. Disappointed. Imagine saying that about any president, about any human being. Imagine if a Republican had done the same thing. This is the sickness of the left. They don't just oppose Trump's policies. They want him gone, physically gone, and they're not hiding it anymore. You know, I was not a fan of Barack Obama. I didn't agree with him. I didn't like his policies. Thought he was wrong for America. Same with creepy, sleepy, dopey Joe Biden. But I never once wished for their deaths, because at the end of the day, they were still my president. They were elected. They were in office. Whether like it or not, they were commander in chief. I wanted to defeat them, but I didn't want them dead. And what does it say about our society, about the Democrat Party, the so-called tolerant left, about the mainstream media, too, for that matter, when they openly hope for the death of a sitting president? That's not politics. That's not disagreement. That's hate. And it's sick, folks. It's absolutely sick. But this is the rhetoric that tears our country apart. This is the mindset that turns neighbors into enemies, that pits Americans against one another, and it's being normalized. Democrats laugh about it on late night TV, and the press looks the other way, and the blue sky mob cheers it on. But here's the truth. Wishing death on a president is not patriotic. It's not funny. It's not edgy. It's grotesque. It's un-American. It's beyond Trump derangement syndrome. It's treason. We used to have standards in this country. We used to say, I don't like the guy's politics. I wanted to defeat him in November, but I still respect the office. That used to mean something. Now the left treats Trump and MAGA and his supporters like they're subhuman, like it's acceptable to fantasize about his demise. And then they lecture us about civility, about lowering the temperature, about being fascists and Nazis. Spare me. I'll tell you what this shows, that the left is terrified. They're terrified because Donald Trump is strong, because he's succeeding. Terrified because he's alive and well. Terrified because he's still out there swinging a golf club while Joe Biden is barely surviving through a sippy cup, because he can't finish a sentence, because he can barely sip an ice or lick an ice cream cone. Terrified because Trump represents a movement that won't be silenced, that won't go away, and that will live on after him. And that's more energized now than ever. And make no mistake, they want him gone because he's the only thing standing between their radical agenda and the America that they want to remake. That's why they amplify these rumors. That's why the leftists joke about his health. That's why hashtags like Trump dead trend. Because they can't beat him fairly. They can't win on ideas, so they resort to smears and lies and six fantasies. So here's my challenge to you. Don't sink to their level. Don't respond with hate or fear. Let's be better than them. Fight with ideas. Fight with truth. Fight with courage. But never ever wish for the death of a fellow American, let alone a president. That's the difference between us and them. The left wants a culture of death. We want a culture of life. They want division. We want unity under the Constitution. They want power. We want freedom. So the next time you hear the media playing games with Trump's health, remember this, it's a projection. They're panicking because Trump is alive. He's well and is stronger than ever. And that's why they fear him. We'll take a quick break, and then my buddy Curtis Houck from Newsbusters will try to explain this obsession and the hype over that Labor Day weekend and the Trump is dead story. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. Every month, remember, third Saturday of the month, they do their Day of Action. It's a great way to get engaged, to make a difference. It's a great way to help educate voters. Third Saturday of the month, you can get out, help, you know, weather's perfect right now for door knocking, educating voters. If you're interested to helping out, you can visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And of course, while you're at it, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. And get all the information on the show. If you're a normal person, you might have missed that over the Labor Day weekend. You might not have been like into politics like some of us are. But my poor wife, what she has to put up with. But you might have missed the left-wing portions of the internet were running wild with rumors that President Trump had died. Of course, these rumors were false, but on Tuesday, CBS's Stephen Colbert still had to stop the late show audience from actually booing the fact that the president was still alive.
When I came back in the office, I was shocked to learn that this weekend, the biggest story was frenzied social media rumors speculating whether Donald Trump had died. For the record, Donald Trump is very much alive, okay? And no...
Class act.
We like our presidents alive. Donald Trump is very much alive, and this whole crazy rumor started simply because Trump had zero events on his schedule Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, and one of the only signs that he might still be around was music in the Rose Garden, which the White House confirmed was the president's music. Which I gotta say is not the strongest proof of life. But because he was out of public view, and because when he is in public view, the internet went crazy. Is Trump dead? And Trump dead were among the top searches on Google.
With us now to try and explain the media obsession with the whole Trump is dead story is my buddy Curtis Houck from Newsbusters. Okay, Curtis. Biden went like 6 months without doing, I mean, even speaking to the press. He, you know, circled back. Jen Psaki was avoiding. I mean, Trump takes 3 days off over a holiday weekend and all of a sudden he's dead.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what we're supposed to believe. It's crazy. These are the people that, John, have the bumper stickers, like, choose civility. They were
right.
The people who
yes.
probably, the people doing this probably yes. thought Sarah Palin was why Gabby Giffords almost died. Like, oh, the targets on congressional districts for midterm elections was why Congresswoman almost died. I mean, this is the same people that we're dealing with here. They're talking about that we need to choose civility, and yet they don't demand that of everybody else. That their feelings, however disgusting they are totally justified because this is the world that we live in.
Right.
These people are that dangerous.
It's just like, so laughable.
You're Christians, you're not, you know, that kind of crowd.
Right. It's just, I love when they bring up that stuff, where they try and claim religious high ground when they're the ones that push, abortion on demand. But it's, I mean, I listen to this and the crowd's booing when they think he's alive and cheering when they thought he was dead. But we love our presidents alive. I mean, it's like, come on, folks. And the mainstream media picked up this story too, correct?
Correct. Yeah. I mean, I think what's so ridiculous about this is a little bit behind the curtain here. The White House press pool, the thing that they fought over forever a few months ago, the White House press corps decided to lay down on the train tracks for, like, because the AP couldn't be in it, like, every day or something. They still send out reports every day about the president, and especially at the end of that there, he was going golfing every day, like, to his Virginia golf club.
Right.
Which is, like, maybe 10, 15 minutes from the MRC's office. He did an interview with the Daily Caller's Reagan Reese, which produced a transcript. So unless, you know, it was some Weekend at Bernie's or something, like, I know Reagan pretty well, and she wouldn't make that stuff up. She wouldn't concoct the whole transcript. She's got a million other things to do. So the idea that they did this with Trump, they're all of a sudden rediscovered their amateur MDs,
right?
You know, right, after a long slumber. We're back to the whole Trump walking down a wet ramp at West Point like he did during his first term is proof that he's got, like, a heart problem, or he may have dementia. He's got the rashes on his skin.
Exactly.
That whole thing. We're like Zapruder here going frame by frame. Like, does his skin look okay? Oh, did you see the skin color change?
That's a perfect example. Yes. It's like all of a sudden now they're quote unquote journalists when they haven't been for the entire 4 years of the Biden administration, you know, where they spent that entire time not only hiding his cognitive decline, but then attacking anybody who brought that up and saying that we were, you know, conspiracy theorists. I want to ask you, by the way, we're talking with Curtis Houck from Newsbusters. I want to share this one with you as well. This is fired MSNBC, and I love saying fired MSNBC host, and professional crazy person Joy Reid. Last week, she went deep down the rabbit hole when she claimed that Trump wasn't shot, that it was perhaps a conspiracy theory.
He's got these magical doctors who claim that he was shot in the ear, but his ear, I guess, grew back. He had a Duplo bandage on one minute, no bandage the next. We can't get a medical record from this alleged assassination. He was supposedly shot. We have nothing. We've got nothing.
Where are the investigative records? One day he slapped his maxi pad on his ear. The next day the ear is totally fine.
I mean, I granted, it's Joy Reid, but are you kidding me? I mean, come on.
It's pathetic. I mean, they try and tell us again that you don't wish ill on your political opponent.
Right.
And that we are the ones who are supposed to respect political boundaries. You know, I think we're the ones that should be reminding them that we're all humans and that, like, unfortunately, we're all stuck together in this great country that we have.
But
we all have to make do with it.
What, did he have a ketchup packet in his pocket and smack the side of his head?
Yeah, it was the shrapnel. You know, the conspiracy theory out there was only shrapnel. It was glass from the teleprompter.
Gotcha. What about the guy behind him who died? Did he not really die? I mean, right. It's
Exactly. Corey Comparator is unavailable for comment.
Right.
I think couple things here. First of all, Joy Reid, she's actually the second time she's been let go from MSNBC. She lost two shows. One was a weekend show. She got promoted to the daytime show, but she had a daytime show many years ago, and she lost that too. And she's on with Katie Fang, who is a former federal prosecutor. Okay, this is yet again, I think the deep state has been very helpful the last decade in showing us that all of these people who had the power to lock Americans up for long periods of time, many of them are complete psychopaths.
Yes.
Katie Fang was going along with this thing. This is a woman who had a legal license, was representing the United States of America in court, and she's just going along with this grand conspiracy theory from Joy Reid. And the last point is, why do people keep platforming Joy Reid? I feel like she has dirt on these people.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, she should just retreat into nothingness, into irrelevance.
Well, it does begs a question why networks continue to put her on the air. She's that toxic. But you know, it is what it is. I do want to ask you one last question because I saw you tweet it out. By the way, if folks want to follow you, I highly recommend they follow you. You're at Curtis Houck, H-O-U-C-K. You've got a fantastic Twitter. I call it Twitter, but X feed. But I got to ask you about this, the Karen, the Phillies Karen. If people haven't seen this story, essentially what happened is a Phillies player hit a home run into the stands, and a father went to retrieve the ball, and he gets the ball, but it happened to fall near this lady wearing a Phillies jersey. She chased him down and insisted that since it landed near her, it was her ball. So she literally took it from the kid of this Phillies fan. This story is so bizarre that this woman would do this. I'm just curious. I mean, this is really blowing up this poor. I'm starting to feel sorry for the woman because she's literally becoming Phillies Karen now on social media.
And folks, if you haven't seen it, she looks like she could be a distant relative of Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, without a doubt.
Got separated. They got separated at birth from the Indian tribe.
Yes, and granted, she kind of deserves it, but at the same time, you know, you brought it on yourself.
It didn't. What didn't help, the part that didn't help is new video that came out later in the night and yesterday that showed she was, the crowd was booing her because the few people around them at the Miami Marlins game in Miami saw the whole thing happen and they were booing her and she was standing up and flipping them off and like touting the fact that she took the ball back. When you like that kind of attitude to like basically being booed mercilessly by the tens of people there at the Marlins game, that is just,
yeah.
I mean, that is just bad news bears. Everything worked out well, I should say, for the kid because he not only got a bunch of swag from the Marlins, the guy who hit the home run, Harrison Bader for the Phillies, invited him down and gave him a signed bat after the game.
Yeah, it did work out.
It's the kid's birthday. So.
And again, it's like, lady, it's a freaking home run ball. It's not like it's the ninth game of, you know, the tie game of the World Series or something. You know, it's a ball. Who cares?
But, yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
it, whatever. Exactly. You know, it's some people. It's just some. It's like, come on. Where's your Christian nature? But apparently she doesn't have one. Curtis, again, you're at Curtis Houck on X and newsbusters.org. I highly recommend folks reach out and connect with you, brother.
Yeah, follow me tomorrow. I'm going to be at my wife's work, the Museum of the Bible, where the president will be speaking about the DOJ's Religious Liberty Commission.
So, oh, fantastic. I will do that. I will do that. Thank you, my friend. Stay in touch, brother.
Take care. Talk soon.
Coming up, Brent Davis will be with us to discuss his campaign for Wichita School Board. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And, of course, make sure you listen to KNSS on the Odyssey, iHeart Radio, or TuneIn apps. Well, as you know, every election cycle, we try to bring you as many candidates as possible. If there's a particular candidate you're wanting to hear from, I know we're trying to get all the gubernatorial candidates, for example. We've already spoken now. We'll have Phil Sarnecki. We'll have Scott Schwab. We haven't had them on yet, but we're working Stacey Rogers. All three of them are going to be on here in the next few weeks. So that being said, joining us now is Brent Davis. He's a teacher, president of Complete Education Incorporated and candidate for the USD 259 School Board District 2. Brent, thank you for joining us. Nice to have you back on the show again. I know I've had you on as an education expert before. Now we've got you on as a candidate. So nice to have you on the show, my friend.
Thank you, John. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
You know, like I said, I know that you're very familiar with education from the perspective of, as a teacher, why want to, you know, it's an unpaid gig. Why would you want to be a school board member?
Well, you know, really, I care about my city and I care about the kids. And I think you just have to be mad as heck to see how the test scores have gone down for the last 10 years and the school board hasn't done a thing about it. Well, the school board, some of the school board members are trying to do something about it, but the administration, the school administration is not doing a thing about it. So the only achievement, performance, marker that they have is graduation rate.
Yeah, but I've said multiple times that if you're graduating kids that can't read and write, which we're constantly seeing, they get out and then they go on to education or even in private sector, they're having to remedially educate them. So
exactly. And so
graduating kids that can't read and write, then the graduation rate's irrelevant.
Yeah, exactly. If your test scores are going down, then the diploma is meaningless.
Right.
Or it's less and less meaningful, right? And you want a diploma to mean something to employers. So what's happened since 2015? In 2015, if you go to the Kansas Department of Education website and you get on the website and you go to teaching and learning, and then you go down into the resources section into the Kansas report card. I mean, they have so many things to look at here. It's hard to find that. But you get to the Kansas report card, and then you click on the school district, USC 259, and Wichita, Sedgwick County. And then you can click and you can look at the district results for English language arts and for math, and it'll show you who's at what level. Okay. So in 2015, according to these statistics that you can easily get to,
and this comes directly from the district. This isn't, you know, like a non, like some partisan interest group or something.
It's the State Department of Education.
Right.
And so in 2015, 58% of the USC 259 kids were below grade level or needing remediation, 58%.
So almost 60% of kids.
Almost 60%
couldn't pass.
And yet
graduated.
And now that's up to 66%.
Oh, that's even worse. That was 10 years ago, and we've gone down by another 10. And yet
it's consistently gone down.
And see, this is one of the frustrations I have, because they just gave Kelly Bielfeld, the superintendent. Nothing against Kelly. I think Kelly's doing the best he can, but they just gave him 2 pay raises.
Well, yeah, I don't think Kelly's doing the best he can.
Well,
because I've talked to Kelly 4 years ago.
They just gave him 2 pay raises.
I took him all these studies, showed him what we could do to raise test scores. I showed him how it's being done elsewhere. And he hasn't taken any of those suggestions. He's interested in getting people more certifications for work. That he's done some good work in that. And he has done some things to do early childhood education. But the school board kept the schools closed over COVID, and that's hurt them.
Yeah.
And then they haven't done the things that they needed to do to get those test scores up. And he makes the excuse that it's because there are so many minority kids and so many kids below the poverty level that – you know, we're doing great for that situation. And that is just not true, because there are places where it's being done.
Let me ask you about that factor. About half of Wichita sophomores and 67% of African-American sophomores scored in the bottom level in English arts. If they can't pass the state assessment, which is the basic standard, how are they all of a sudden being able to pass their regular classes and graduate? Because they're still graduating, these kids.
Well, I mean, over at Southeast, apparently they were fudging some grades.
So you think that? Do you think that's going on more than just there? Or?
Well, I think there's grade inflation for sure. Okay, and so really, you've got to have something meaningful, some meaningful measurement, and that is test scores. And we have a lot. We have a lot of data to show that lower test scores mean lower lifetime earnings for those kids.
Yeah,
because when they get out of high school, then they have to do remedial work. When they get to college, they don't read very well. They don't do math very well. So they have to – it takes them longer to learn how to do their jobs, that sort of thing. So it's definitely produces lower lifetime incomes, which means a depressed Wichita economy, because we aren't graduating people who can get right out and get jobs. They need more training. And so that means – more poverty, more homelessness, more kids born out of wedlock. You know, when kids make higher test scores, there's less likely that they're going to have a child while they're in high school. The higher test scores mean they're a little more likely to get in college or get into some kind of trade and be successful in it. So it makes a huge difference.
It really does. I mean, outcomes. Really needs to be focused all on that, all on educating the kids, money in the classroom. Let me, along those lines, and I know I'm coming up on my break here, but along those lines, you know, last year we had the bond, $500 million, and it looks like they want to do another bond next November. So my question before we go to break here, had you been on the board, would you have supported the last bond? And if, assuming you win, would you support a bond next year?
You know, they've sold multiple buildings for $1 to the city. And they have the these properties deeded so they can't be used for educational purposes, these buildings that are mainly applicable to education purposes, and they're holding on to them. They're not auctioning them off. They have a lot of properties and things they could sell. They could sell these for market price and make enough money, you know, to pay for some of these schools.
So you don't, you would not have supported the last bond. Would you support another bond in November?
No, because it's tremendous fiscal mismanagement.
You know, those are good answers, by the way. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll, if you don't mind sticking around through the break.
Nope.
We'll come back. We're talking with Brent Davis, candidate for USD 259 School Board District 2. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 1330 KNSS. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. Third Saturday of every month is their National Day of Action. Great opportunity for you to get involved, help update, educate, and inform Wichita voters about the things that matter. Right now, I know they're working on educating voters about the upcoming constitutional amendment. It's a great way for you to make your voice heard by visiting AmericansForProsperity.org. You can sign up today. With us still is Brent Davis, candidate for Wichita School Board District 2. Brent, let me ask you, the State Board of Education has, we talked about them, you know, changing the standards. I think, frankly, what they've done is essentially dumbed down of the standards. You tell me if that's not basically what they're doing. They've dumbed down the standards to make it easier.
Yes, yes. What they did is they lowered the threshold of what is counted as at grade level.
Right. So it makes it easier. I mean, because the biggest knock that I've gotten into many debates with education establishment folks and union folks, and then I point to, well, here's your academic performance, here's your grad, you know, and. Now they'll be able to say, oh, well, look, we've had a, I mean, look at just this year, they're able to say, well, we got a 20% jump in X. Well, of course it is, because you change the metrics.
Exactly. And here's a metric you can't fudge. Basically, in 2015, the average ACT score for USD 259 was 19.6. That's just a little below 50%, the 50th percentile. In 2024, the average ACT score was 16.7. That's 30th percentile. That means half of the students that had the initiative to take the ACT and USD 259 are below the 30th percentile. That is just abysmal. That is completely unacceptable. That would not get you an NCAA Division I playing rights for, you know, Division I athlete. You know, you have to have at least an 18.
Right.
And those are athletes that are just barely passing, you know, and you look at Capen, they're 24, you know,
right.
So that's what can be done in Wichita if we're focused on education.
And that needs to be the key. Absolutely needs to be the key. And I had a conversation with another school board candidate recently, and I told him, look, it's not like I'm adamantly opposed to bonds. If you can justify, look, we absolutely need it, and here's the key. But when your bond is spent, like in Goddard, half of it was on stadiums, stadium lighting, press boxes, and that kind of nonsense. Mm-hmm. If you came to us and you said we need half the money and 100% of it's going into the classroom, well, then that maybe we could talk. But when you're spending it on nonsense that doesn't lead to reading, writing, and arithmetic, well, then that's a different story.
Absolutely. They have to be taking care of business. I mean,
right.
The purpose of schools is not athletics or other things. Right. It's teaching kids how to read and write.
Yep, reading, ciphering.
And do math. That's right.
Speaking of which, let me ask you this. Kansas has seen a significant rise in K-12 spending with a 53% increase over the last 10 years. And yet, scores are either flat or down. Do you think schools are adequately funded in Kansas?
Well, the average funding per student in USC 259 is around $20,000 a year.
Oh, goodness.
And yet, you know,
I get a decent schools, college education.
Schools like the classical school, it's $6,000 a year to go there. And they're producing fantastic results. And it's much cheaper to go to Capen. And they're just completely blowing out the USC 259.
So you do think they're adequately funded. It's just not how they're spending the money.
Exactly. It's how you spend the money.
Speaking of how they're spending money, currently board members do not receive any pay. Some districts are considering changing that and paying board members. Now, keep in mind that would then take money out of the classroom in order to pay board members, diverting money from the classroom to pay salaries for board members. Do you support paying board members? And if that passed, would you accept a pay?
Well, you know, I just think you can't. How can you think about paying yourself when you're not getting results in the classroom and when we've got a budget shortfall? I mean, you just have to think that's just completely wrongheaded given the situation.
I'm curious. This is, the Supreme Court recently sided with parents who want to opt their children out of LGBTQ books in classrooms. Do you agree with that decision, with the Supreme Court decision?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, parents are in charge of their students' education, and we've been trying to circumvent that in the school systems to promote certain ideologies, and that completely has to get out of the school system. We have got to put a focus on the traditional family, helping kids understand who they are and not who they wish to be, or there's some fantasy of that.
Well, and again, it comes down to, you know, that LGBTQ shouldn't be the focus. Reading, writing, mathematics.
So, I mean, absolutely.
We get distracted on some of this other nonsense.
Exactly.
We need to focus on what's it going to take to help you get a job? What's it going to help you to succeed in life? This stuff, let the parents deal with that. Let your, you know, that's not the function of a school. That's not the purpose of a school to teach you about this nonsense.
Yeah, you know,
let the parents do with that.
My opponent, Julie Hedrick, has for 8 years watched test scores go straight down the toilet. And she hasn't done a thing about that. And all she wants to do is build more buildings. And she hasn't been using the money or advising the school system to use the money to do the proper maintenance. You know, the reason is they want the school's buildings to look bad so that they can get them replaced by big bonds like we're talking about now, this $450 million.
And she did. She voted for the last bond. I asked her, by the way, we've invited her on the show. She has declined. She does not want to come on the show. And I know why, because she does support paying board members. She does support the last bond. She wants another bond. She is a big tax and spender. And she just doesn't want to answer those questions. And I think in this case is another one. She supports she basically just does what the union tells her to do.
Yeah, there are ways to get test scores up without spending a lot more money. We just need to focus on those methods. You know, that I made a study of that. I help kids get higher test scores for a living. I've had 31 National Merit Scholars in the last 8 years, and I just had five more taking tests at my office this afternoon that look like they're good potential of being National Merits there too.
And that needs to be the key.
That's what we're focused on.
And to her credit, you know, Diane Albert and Hazel and Kathy, that has been their focus all along.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that needs to be the focus. Focus on getting kids. You know, I go back with Edward James Olmos. I can't remember the movie, but that was the whole point was, you know, kids and succeeding and grades. And we need to get focused on that and stop focused on big buildings and, you know, new gyms and new stadiums, and
prove that you're educating kids, and then people
then
may
we'll
want
money.
To give you
there
money
you go.
For
exactly.
Buildings.
Brett, I want to give a quick, if folks want to reach out, they want to donate, they want to help, it's Brent for USD259.org, and that's the number 4, correct?
Yep.
I appreciate you, my friend. Best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Coming
it's been a pleasure.
Up, Texas Senator Ted Cruz will be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Remind you, KNSS is always here for you. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles by texting AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM in radios. And of course, Make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Studio lines are open 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. My next guest, Senator Ted Cruz, is an attorney serving as the junior senator from Texas since 2013. He was Solicitor General of Texas from 2003 to 2008. And he currently chairs the Senate Commerce Committee. He can also be heard every Saturday at 3. He hosts a new show, The Verdict with Ted Cruz, with national radio host Ben Ferguson, right here every Saturday at 3 o'clock. Senator, thank you again for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
John, it's great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
And by the way, welcome back to Wichita. We were thrilled to have you. It's been a few years, but we had you back in 2016 when let's not remind the president, but you won our caucus back in 2016.
Well, I did, and I will say the good people of Wichita and all of Kansas, I am grateful for their great wisdom and fortitude.
Well, and in addition to my role here, change my hats, in addition to my role as a radio host, I happen to be the chair of the Sedgwick County Republican Party, and I believe I'm going to switch my phones here in a little while and call your office because we want to bring you back to Wichita and have you come speak to the county party at some point. So we'd love to bring you back soon.
Well, I would love to do it, so I hope we can make the calendar work.
Senator, let me start by asking you this. I follow you on X, and I saw that you introduced the Clean DC Act, which is designed to repeal DC's 2022 law that lessened the penalties for violent crimes. Obviously, the president's right now trying to clean up DC. Can you tell us a little bit about the Clean DC Act?
Well, sure. As you know, DC crime has been out of control for a long time. Every year, D.C. is among the highest murder rates of any city in America. Last year, the homicide rate was 27 murders per 100,000 residents. Jeez. which is disastrous. It's worse than Bogota, Colombia. and we've seen, you know, we saw a White House staffer working for DOJ who was violently assaulted by 10 juvenile assailants. Rand Paul had a staffer who was stabbed walking down the sidewalk.
Our own Congressman Estes had a staffer who was killed.
Yeah, well, and President Trump, there was an official in the first Trump administration who was sitting in his car at 5 p.m. on a public street, and he was shot and killed as well. And I mean, it's been out of control, and it was made worse in 2022. 2022, you obviously had George Floyd was killed, and then you had the Antifa and Black Lives Matter riots all over the country. And D.C., the mayor and city council reacted, as many left-wing politicians did, by going after the police and siding with violent criminals. And then they passed a law in D.C. in 2022 that lessened the penalties for violent crime, lessened the penalties for murder, lessened the penalties for carjacking, lessen the penalties for violent assault. And unsurprisingly, violent crime went up. We had Henry Cuellar, a Democrat congressman from Texas, who was carjacked in D.C. outside his apartment building, an apartment building five other congressmen live in, and he was carjacked there. And so the Clean D.C. Act is very simple. It reverses that 2022 law that lessened the penalty for violent crimes. And I will say, in the previous Congress, we passed a law reversing the 2022 act, and Joe Biden vetoed it. It was one of the very few vetoes he did his entire presidency, but the Democrats have decided when it comes to violent criminals, they're for them. So I've introduced this again, and we're going to fight to have a vote. And I want to put every House member and every senator on record. Do you stand with the murderers and rapists and carjackers, or do you stand with the innocent citizens who far too often have been their victims?
But, Senator, that's what we're seeing with Democrats. You've got Democrat mayors defending crime and illegals. You just over the Labor Day weekend, 54 were shot, 7 dead last weekend in Chicago. And when asked about it, the governor seemed to blame the president for it. I mean, this is what they're defending. This is who they're standing with.
It really is. It's bizarre. I do not understand why Democrats have decided that their party is the party of violent criminals. It is the party of illegal aliens. It is the party of Venezuelan gang members. You know, last week I traveled down to Latin America and I went to El Salvador, Panama, and Mexico. And in El Salvador, I met with President Bukele and I visited the CECOT prison, which is the prison he built for violent gang members and terrorists. And I got to tell you, in El Salvador, the record of success is extraordinary. Just a few years ago, El Salvador had the highest murder rate in the world. The murder rate in El Salvador was 100 homicides per 100,000 people. That means 1 in 1,000 Salvadorians were murdered every single year. President Bukele came in, and he began rounding up and arresting MS-13 and the 18th Street Barrio gangs and putting them in the CECOT prison. And the murder rate in El Salvador has dropped 98%. It is stunning. El Salvador is now one of the safest countries on earth. And it's exactly this and the same principle that if you go after the bad guys, people are safer. And yet Democrats have decided, you know, they've decided this Maryland man, and they're poster child right. for who they're for. And they're going to tell you, hey, you elect Democrats and you'll get more MS-13 gang members and human traffickers and drug traffickers in your neighborhood. I don't understand the political thinking behind that, but you're exactly right. It's where Democrat politicians are going.
We're talking with Texas Senator Ted Cruz. Senator, let me pivot a little bit. Again, it seems like this happens perpetually. Looks like, once again, we're at a risk of another Schumer shutdown.
Yep.
Obviously, this is not going to be the fault of, you guys. It's not going to be a Republican problem. But if Chuck Schumer has his way, we may be facing another one. Where do you think the prospects lie?
Look, I think there's a very real prospect of a shutdown because I think Chuck Schumer wants a shutdown. And it's the Democrat Party today that they stand for one thing, which is hate and anger directed at Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And, you know, Schumer is terrified of his left wing flank. He's terrified of AOC and the progressives in the party. And if Schumer wants to, he can force a shutdown because to pass a continuing resolution funding the government in the Senate takes 60 votes. We only have 53 Republicans, which means we need at least 7 Democrats to pass it. And if Schumer decides he can corral the Democrats and listen, they obey orders well. And so I think there's a very real possibility that Schumer will force a shutdown just to show the crazies in his party, we hate Trump and we're fighting Trump. I hope that doesn't happen. And Republicans, we don't want it to happen. But Schumer might well decide to force a shutdown to show how tough he is.
Senator, I know you have a good relationship with the president. I know you speak to him regularly. Yep. Over the holiday, we had an interesting news cycle because the president, who's been working very diligently, took a couple days off. And lo and behold, the news story was, Donald Trump's dead. We laugh, but Governor Tim Walz told supporters to remain hopeful that Trump would die soon. I mean, where have we come in our culture where Joy Reid can, doubt that he was shot and the Democrat nominee for vice president laughs and hopes that he dies soon?
Now, this is crazy town, and you're exactly right. As you know, I do a podcast every week.
That's here, right here.
Verdict with Ted Cruz, and I'm proud to be on KNSS every Saturday at 3 p.m. Y'all carry the podcast Verdict with Ted Cruz. And I will tell you, the latest podcast, I focus on exactly this story, is one of the stories I talk about, which is the shocking news. Donald Trump is alive. Because social media and the left went crazy when 24 hours went by without him doing a press conference. Mind you, Joe Biden, I'm pretty sure that they put him in a permanent vegetative state for months.
Yeah.
And the press didn't notice and didn't care. And yet, and I got to say that Tim Walz video really was deranged because he's gleeful that he is openly rooting for the president of the United States to be dead. And he's saying someday, it's going to happen someday. And I got to say, that is twisted. Look, John, you and I, we didn't agree with Barack Obama. We didn't agree with Joe Biden. But I never rooted for either one of them to be dead. And right. I want the president of the United States to succeed. I want America to win. And it's the Democrats are so filled with hate that they are openly, you know, yearning and gleeful at the prospect of the president dying.
Yeah, it's really sad. You're right. I mean, neither of us, I think, were happy with either of those two presidents' policies, but they were still our right. president, and we didn't wish ill health on them. And it's a really sad state of affairs. I know I've got to let you run, but I do want to ask you, speaking of the holiday, and this may be a Schumer thing as well, but why hasn't the Senate been able to confirm more Trump appointees, particularly considering the recess appointment process? I'm just curious. Yeah. That's got to frustrate you as well.
So it does. What we're seeing from the Democrats is unprecedented obstruction. And Schumer and the Democrats. So every president in modern times has had the majority of their nominees confirmed either by voice vote or unanimous consent. There are a lot of nominees that are non-controversial, and they get routinely, hundreds of them get confirmed. And, mm-hmm. and George W. Bush had them, and Obama had them, and Biden had them, and even the first Trump term, they had them. Well, for the last 8 months, there have been zero nominees confirmed by voice vote or unanimous consent. What the Democrats have done is dragged out every confirmation. So the Senate has had more votes to confirm nominees than ever before in modern times. But Schumer and the Democrats are delaying and obstructing, and it is unprecedented. It's unacceptable. Now, here's the good news. Look, there's a natural give and take. If for every action, there is a reaction. And the way checks and balances operate is when one party abuses their power, the other party responds. And the Democrats' obstruction is so bad that I believe we're going to see the Senate change the rules to expedite confirmations to move more quickly. And in fact, I can tell you, we are this week, Senate Republicans are actively debating and working, and I am advocating vigorously for us to change the rules to move past this Democrat obstruction. But this is another manifestation of what we were talking about before, which is the Democrats today are the party of hate and anger, and that's why they're blocking even nominees that they don't object to on the merit, but they're trying to slow everything down, and we've got to push back, and I think we're going to.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. You mentioned it earlier, your show, The Verdict, with Ted Cruz. It's with national radio host Ben Ferguson. You break down the most important news stories of the day. It can be heard Saturdays at 3, immediately following the rebroadcast of this show. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, sure. So we do the show 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's a podcast. We've got about 1 million unique listeners nationwide, and so it is an incredibly powerful tool to do a deep dive and really engage on the issues. And then we have our Friday show is rebroadcast. We're on over 200 radio stations all across the country, and so it is a great opportunity. Look, I do the podcast and the show for the same reason you do your show, which is to inform and educate and really empower people, to empower your listeners to know the facts. The corporate media is so corrupt. They are so dishonest.
Yeah.
That if you watch CNN, well, you'd be one of two people nationwide, but you know nothing about what is actually happening because the media lies to you. And so the reason I do the Verdict podcast is to give listeners the real facts and real information so that when you're at the water cooler at work, when you're sitting down at the Thanksgiving dinner table and your Uncle Joe repeats some nonsense that the corporate media is saying, that you have the facts to push back and say, hey, that isn't true. Because at the end of the day, I think truth matters, and I think we have a responsibility to speak the truth in the face of lies.
Well, Senator, again, I appreciate you. If folks wanted, they can find you on X. I follow you. You follow me, which I appreciate. You're at Ted Cruz and tedcruz.org online. And of course, they can hear you Saturdays at 3 right here on KNSS.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it. And thank you for being such a strong voice for liberty.
Well, and let's hopefully we'll get you back to Wichita soon.
I look forward to it.
Thank you, Senator.
God bless.
If you listen to CNN or watch CNN, you'd be one of two viewers nationwide. You got to love him. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll take your calls. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 316-869-1330. Our studio lines are open. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget, AFP's Day of Action is coming up the third Saturday of every month. It's a great way to get engaged, make a difference, be a part of something, help educate voters. You can visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. And follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Also, don't forget the Governor's Choice Chili Feed and Forum. It's being put on by the Cowley County Republicans. It's in Winfield. All of the currently declared GOP candidates for governor have committed to attend and participate. I will be hosting. KNSS will be broadcasting the event live. Phil will be here behind the console.
Save me some chili.
I'll save you some chili. I will bring you some chili.
That's going to be a really interesting.
Yeah, should be.
I mean, for folks that come, they're going to get to see. It's not going to be a knockdown drag out. This is going to be something where you get to hear from each candidate.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, I think
conversations.
That's valuable.
We're going to have, you know, individual conversations with every candidate. We'll ask pretty much the same questions so that, you know, nobody's getting any zingers. And everybody will get a chance to give an intro, you know, opening kind of a statement. And then we'll ask, you know, questions of every candidate. And I like the format that I've chosen, because that way it's not a bunch of gotcha questions. It's not a bunch of, you know, he said, she said, where they're now. They could say something about somebody else, but not to them, not fighting back and forth. It's just going to give them an opportunity to answer the same question. And I'm going to keep them on task. I mean, if somebody starts throwing questions, I'm going to say, no, you know, sorry, so-and-so, stick to the, you know, because that's not the point. This is answer. And you know me, when somebody doesn't answer a question, I...
Feet to the fire.
Right. I hold them, no, that's not what I asked. Answer this question. Because that's the whole point, is I want you to answer the questions. And if you don't answer the question, I'm going to keep asking the question, because that's what we're here for. Mm-hmm. It's if you can't answer a question, well, that's telling too. You know, I'm not going to be mean or anything, but look, if we want to, you know, what's your stance on life? What's your stance on school choice? What's your stance on the Second Amendment? These are basic, and it's going to be basic. It's not like I'm going to ask them about the airspeed, velocity, even unladen swallow or something. It's, you know, it's basic. By the way, that's Monty Python, for those of you who don't know. Did you know that reference, by the way?
I didn't.
Okay, yes. Oh, you don't know Monty Python?
That's 10 points off from me.
That is 10 points. What is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow? And then there was Now, I will give a copy of Mark Levin's book to the person who knows the response to that.
Oh, okay.
See if we get a caller here.
All right.
But what is the response? Do you know? You don't know the response.
I don't. Yes. So that's
but there is a response. Is the phone ringing? It is. Ha! See? Yes. Because the guy who's asked that at the bridge doesn't know the response and is immediately, you know, propelled off the bridge. So we already had a caller. I knew I'd get a caller on this one. What is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow? No, she doesn't know. See, they got the wrong answer. So the answer to that question is African or European, and he doesn't know the answer. So It's at any rate, I've gotten off on a way tangent. At any rate, it's going to be a great event. It's the governor, and my wife is certainly texting me by now, telling me that I am way off target here. The governor's chili feeding forum in Cali County. It's in Winfield. We'll be broadcasting it live, and I'm showing my major geek. So that's now three calls we've had, and they've all got the question wrong. That's fine. African or European is the answer. So. At any rate, that was the response from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Oh, I should be.
I'm such a geek.
I should be ashamed of myself. Okay. I mean, Monty Python.
Yes. Yeah. It's classic. Classic Monty Python gag. At any rate, yes, I'm such a geek. But we'll also be broadcasting it live. So,
real quickly before we go to break, the state fair.
Yes.
Is going on this week.
My wife and I will be heading back out there.
Okay. Are you? Do you have responsibilities as far as like manning the booth?
No, the state party. That's all the state party. Okay. I go usually, and I'll take a 4-hour shift at the at the party booth. By the way, the Kansas Republican Party's booth there is so much better than the Dem booth. The Dem booth is like, I mean, might as well have Mondami running the thing. It looks like a bunch of liberal, whiny, you know, socialist. Our booth looks so much better. It's like pro-America. Freedom.
Yeah.
And theirs looks like, you know, what handouts can we give away? What pro abortion stuff can we give away? It's really bad and pathetic looking. Ours is America and freedom and, you know, America. It looks great. Theirs looks pathetic. It's really bad. The other one that looks really good is KFL's. KFL's booth looks really
good. They've got one there too.
Yeah, KFL always has a good booth. Speaking of which, I think our next guest. So we'll take don't forget the Governor's Choice Chili Feed and Forum with all the GOP gubernatorial candidates coming up on October 11th. So you can find more information on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. We'll take a quick break, and then Mackenzie Ayers from Kansans for Life will tell us about their Wichita Fall Fling and a really cool exhibit that's coming to Hutch here later this month. 316-869-1330 is the studio lines. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. Three people didn't know the Monty Python. See that time?
And the producer.
And the producer. Four people. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS, or by listening to KNSS on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, according to the left-leaning Kansas Reflector, who's certainly no ally to anything Republican or conservative for that matter, more than 70% of abortions performed in 2024 in Kansas were for out-of-state residents. According to monthly estimates of clinician-provided abortionists in states without total bans. Overall, Kansas was among the top five states in the country with the most substantial increases in abortions performed between 2023 and 2024. Congratulations. You win. Woo-hoo. That's what elections have consequences, folks. It's an 18% increase. With us now to talk about some of these numbers and some of the ways that we can help to, educate voters and maybe do something about it is Mackenzie Ayers with Kansans for Life. Mackenzie, thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure to have the good folks from KFL on the show.
Thanks, John. It's always great talking to you.
Yeah, these 2024 numbers, again, that's the most recent numbers that are available. We don't have the 2025 numbers. Knowing Laura Kelly's administration, it'll be sometime in 2027 before we do. We really have become a destination state. And this is all the consequence of how that vote that, folks were misguided, misleaded, and misled.
Well, absolutely. Something devastating is happening in Kansas. And the numbers that you just referenced are actually 2023 numbers, because the Governor Kelly still has not really recent numbers. We're still waiting on those. And you're right.
It's September.
The numbers are truly shocking. And it's devastating what's happening here in Kansas. It's a reality that's hidden. Most people don't know that the number of abortions in Kansas are skyrocketing. In 2023, there were 19,467 lives lost to abortion. And when you say that number, people, they know it's large, but it's sometimes hard to understand and grasp just how large that number is. And, you know, people need to understand that what's happening in Kansas is, it's a reality that's hidden. The abortion industry would love nothing more than to sweep all of this under the rug. But it's our job to bring this reality to light and to show Kansans what's happening.
Right.
Because they deserve to know that women are being funneled here and abortions are being performed on them in unclean and unlicensed or safety regulations in our state. And so we've been quietly working on a project that we are excited to launch this week. It's going to be coming to Hutchinson on Saturday. And I'm excited to share more about this today with you.
Yeah, you know, the project you're referring to, I've seen it. I saw it when we were in Topeka for the rally. And it, to give people context, it's if you think about that figure, that 19,000 figure, I think it was Danielle who told me this originally, but that's literally a baby, an infant, in every seat in Interest Bank Arena here in Wichita, correct?
Right, exactly. And we've also said, you know, if you're in Lawrence, that number can more than fill Allen Fieldhouse in Lawrence, Bramlage Coliseum in Manhattan. If you're in Kansas City, that can more than fill the T-Mobile Center. It's a huge number. And so right. We have designed, and our goal is to awaken Kansans to understand that this is happening. We have designed, as a response, we have designed and created a one-of-a-kind traveling memorial display to honor and show 19,467 lives and to shine a light on a reality that would otherwise remain hidden. And so this is going to be an immersive walk-through experience. It's going to be about the size of a basketball court. And honestly, at the March and Rally for Life, that was just a version of this. What's going to be coming to different cities across Kansas this fall is larger. We have, at the beginning of this exhibit, helped paint the picture of how did we get to this position? How did we get here? And of course, we know that a lot of this is because of the 2019 radical Supreme Court ruling that created a right to abortion in the state constitution. And so we'll walk through that. And it really does compel Kansans to reckon with that decision. How did we get here? And then they'll walk through this experience. And then at the end, we will give them a chance to respond. We're going to do this very respectfully. And the feedback that we've already received from people who have been helping us with this has been very incredible. But we believe, I don't want to give away too many details because I do think this is something that people need to come see for themselves. I believe it's one of those things that, you know, if you're pro-life, if you're not pro-life, if you're in the middle, we have tried to present this in a way that is simply just bringing the truth to Kansans. And it's something that anybody should feel welcome to come to. Like I said, we're going to be in 12 cities this fall. We start the tour on Saturday in Hutchinson, and we're going to be taking this to every corner across Kansas. We've got stops in Hays, Garden City, Liberal, Paola, Atchison. There's more cities that I'm not mentioning. You can find all of the details on aftermathks.com. There's details on there about how to get involved, where we'll be, and more. So we really just encourage everybody to come out and see this devastating reality for yourself, but then also take the opportunity to learn how you can respond.
Again, it's the Aftermath Traveling Exhibit. It's coming to Hutchinson next week. Information is aftermathks.com. We're talking with Mackenzie Ayers from Kansans for Life. And then, of course, Wichita, we've got the Fall Fling, which is coming up on September 20th at 6 o'clock. It's a great event. I know my wife and I are, thanks to our friend Larry Dom, we're going to be attending. That's fun. I mean, it's usually a live band, great food. That event's coming up on the 20th, correct?
Absolutely. It's one of our favorite fall traditions. September 20th, Saturday, 6 to 9 p.m. This is going to be a KFL Political Action Committee event. So it's a fun way to support the pro-life work that the PAC is doing. They would love for you to join them. It's going to be just a relaxing evening of fun, fellowship, food, conversations with your fellow pro-life Kansans. You'll get to visit with elected officials, hear directly from candidates running for governor. And my favorite part is that guests will be able to cast their vote in the KFL PAC pro-life gubernatorial straw poll. So tickets include dinner, drinks, and a great evening out. And every ticket helps fuel the work of the very important work that KFL PAC is doing. So if you're interested in attending, tickets can be found at kflpac.org.
So that's kflpac.org. And then, of course, if people want information on the organization that itself, they can find that at kfl.org, correct?
Absolutely.
Mackenzie, I appreciate you as always. Say hello to my friends over there at KFL, and I will see you, no doubt, on the 20th.
I love it. Thanks, John. Have a great evening.
Yes, likewise. We'll see you then. We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear what you think. If you've got questions or... Yeah, I guess we had... I gave away the answer to the Monty Python question, but... What do you think? Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You want to have Ted Cruz come to town? Let me know. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Still dead 80 doors today. Despite the fact that I had two football games I had to watch, the missus and I still were out for AFP door knocking.
And you picked an excellent day to do it.
We did. We did good. You guys need to come do it with us. Mm. Folks, I'm telling you, it's a great way to get exercise. I think we're down. Well, the wife doesn't need to lose any weight, but I do. I think I'm at 8 pounds now. So that, all right. That makes it like 38. Okay. So I only need to do like another 38 and then 38 more after that. But still, you know, it's progress. It's progress. we're still, you know, but at any rate, door knocking, it's good exercise. And, you know, we had a couple good folks today who,
good,
you know, responded well. So we'll keep, you know, every day, another door or two or three or 38 or, you know, 80.
Knowledge is power.
Knowledge. Ooh, I like that. It's like, you know, where'd you come up with that? Oh, I tell you, you know, interesting. It was a good show tonight.
It's very interesting.
Great. Yeah, love Ted Cruz.
God. Oh, yeah. And I
want to bring him to Wichita.
I would love to have him come to Wichita.
Working on it.
That would be fantastic.
Working on it. I sent that request off. So sent that off while we were during the break. I emailed because now I've got his chief of staff's contact information.
Okay,
so
good.
I emailed that off.
Okay, you brought up something earlier in the show with Curtis Houck. Which I love, by the way. I love when Curtis is on.
Oh, I love having him on, too.
Fantastic.
Yeah, he's a stud.
Yeah. So we were talking about the Phillies lady.
Oh, geez. Yes. That lady, she is an Elizabeth Warren clone. If you've seen her from the front, if you've seen the other video, it shows her face. Mm-hmm. She absolutely looks like Elizabeth Warren.
She is. And I'm kind of with you in that you almost feel sorry for her because, boy, she is just
Getting lit up. Yes.
In the social media.
Well, and now I've seen where there's a story, whether it's true or not, I don't know, where she's been fired by her employer. I don't know if I believe that, but I guarantee you she's having to run from, she's had to probably like cancel her social media accounts and things like that. And granted, she's brought it on herself. But having been, I mean, you know, I've had a few social media posts that have gone viral and, you know, when they reach, trust me, when a social media post reaches 500,000, it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Trust me. It's no fun. because they're all haters when you're at that. You know, when you go viral on social media, it's no fun. I know I've had that happen.
Well, she really doesn't have any ground to stand on.
No,
there.
She's a bee. Yeah. She's a bee. She, and again, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, a Phillies player
hit a home run.
It lands near the woman, but she didn't pick it up. A father runs over, picks it up, turns around, walks back, hands it to his son. And then this lady comes over and just yells and insists that it was her ball. Again, she didn't pick it up. But and so the dad was like, well, OK, I'm not going to fight you over it, and takes it from his son, who's probably, what, 8'10", maybe? Yeah,
probably.
Yeah. Takes it from the son and gives it to her. And then she goes back to her like she's won something. It's a freaking ball, lady. Who cares? It's not like it's the World Series or something hit by Jeter. It's, you know, it's Phillies. Who cares? You know, but for some reason this and oh, she's been. Yeah, she's now known as the Phillies Karen. And oh, yeah, the memes that she's been. I mean, I've seen the best one that I've seen is someone has de-aged her and made her look like Gollum from The Hobbit. With and holding a ball where it's my precious. Then it's a picture of her with Gollum look. It's hilarious.
I haven't seen that one.
Holding a ball like it's my precious. My precious. Oh, it's absolutely hilarious.
The one I've seen was where they've blended. It's kind of funny that we mentioned this, that they blended two of the last social media firestorms together.
Oh,
where they've got the CEO or CEO, whatever, from the guy at the concert.
Oh, yes. Coldplay got concert. Caught cheating.
They have her superimposed
on him. That's a good one, too.
Social media if you're in the wrong, you're going to get roasted.
Social media is brutal. I know people who aren't on social media because of this kind of nonsense. Yeah. Oh, and the other one, she's got the big fat black horn rimmed glasses.
Oh,
like, you know, a lot of liberals are doing that.
Like Rosie's. Okay.
Yes. And so I've seen that too, that they're now comparing her to a lot of these, you know, libs that wear the big horn rimmed black glasses. Oh, yeah. It's, trust me, the poor lady, I do kind of feel sorry for her, but kind of not. Yep. Because talk about taking candy from, you know, babies. And
that's a good analogy right there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, lady, whatever. I mean, I do kind of feel sorry. Just kind of. Not entirely, but kind of. But at any rate, you know, another great show. Thank you for listening. Tune in next Sunday. We'll have more for you. In the meantime, carry on, fellow deplorables.